My name is Nina Gilligan, and this Manchester tart is great for a brew and a gossip, but too much of it will probably give you heartburn.
Hi, I'm Naomi Cooper, and I've had to switch to champagne because I always spill the tea. Bonded by their shame, British comedians Nina Gilligan and Naomi Cooper invite you to join The Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club, a podcast that serves as a non-judgmental safe space for all the intelligent, accomplished people out there who just can't stop thinking about Erica's earrings, Luann's singing, and Crystal's ugly leather pants. So grab a glass of rosé and own it as we bring the bunny and mention it all. Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club.
How are you all out there in Real Housewives world? Are you all right? I know you're going through a period of heavy mourning.
It's very difficult.
As the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills comes to a close.
And Miami.
My name
Wednesday nights suddenly become dull.
Is Nina Gilligan, and she is
Naomi Cooper, and we are
the Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club. I think the mourning has taken a toll on my overall mental well-being.
Has it?
It has.
Well, I am kind of wondering what I'm gonna do with my Thursday mornings now.
I know, I'm just kicking around the house.
I know there's people at home that'd be like, get a job.
I know, just kicking around the house, going into the fridge, looking at it, closing the door, realising that I'm still not allowed to eat anything.
Nina is still on her incredibly triggering 800 calorie a day diet, and you can't see her, but she is a wisp. She is a, knock her over with a feather.
I'm a shadow of my former self.
She says it's 800 calories a day. Sometimes she says it's hormones. We all know it's Ozempic.
If I don't look like Erica Jane by Christmas, I'm seriously taking Dr. Prick Michael Mosley out the back and putting him out of his misery like an old horse.
See, in a way, this could be good publicity for Dr. Michael Mosley because you're following it and it's working for you. You don't feel all bad. However, you keep calling him a prick.
I do. And there's a smugness about him. I don't like the smugness. Who's that other one that's a stargazer
Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. He can join that club as well. He's another smug prick, isn't he?
I think once you've got a PhD, you're allowed to be.
Is that the entry point? Is that like why I hate Wendy? Yeah.
That's why we hate Wendy.
Yes.
Once you've got a PhD,
stands
carry
for
yourself
prick,
a little bit differently.
It doesn't it?
Prick.
Prick, head up, own. It should be PHA. Prick, head up, arse.
University what a way of Gilligan to start. Will be offering this very
what
soon.
What a way to start a podcast.
Yeah, we've gone to arses quite quickly. I'm proud of us.
I know. I'm sorry, people out there. I hope you've had good weeks. And
We lost you for a week because our lovely producer, Jacob, went on holiday. Not because of us, we hope. He literally
because
was like,
he has,
it's the reunion. I'm going on holiday.
Yeah, because we have a producer called The Frog Bucket, which is the best comedy club in the world. Shout out. And he has terms and conditions, which we don't have.
No, on account of the fact that this isn't real.
Yeah. So quite rightly, the man took a break. One day we will get to the point with this podcast where we're able to make sure that it happens no matter what. And we will create avatars of ourselves in a sort of AI world where there'll be stand-ins for Naomi and Nina. And we have some very, very exciting news on that note. We're not going to tell you who.
This is exciting news. We're not going to tell you who.
But we have secured one of the OGs of the Bravo world to come and talk on our podcast. And won't I say
literally
OG?
one of the all-time iconic greats.
The all-time iconic greats is going to come on here and talk with us. We can't believe she's agreed to it. We can only assume she was out of her mind at the time. Maybe had not had enough calories. Maybe she's on a Zempic. Maybe she was drunk. But she...
Something was going on.
Something was going on.
But she has agreed.
But she has agreed tentatively. We have it in writing.
So watch this space.
Watch this space. It's coming up.
And once we get one of them...
You know, we think it's going to fall like a deck of cards. Yeah. They'll all
get Anna Marie, won't we? She's not going to be busy.
So we think that might help with our consistency.
Yeah, we can't leave her hanging.
So, and with that very exciting news, shall we go to Beverly Hills?
Oh, let's go to Beverly Hills.
Name 'em.
Don't know if you're okay. Actually,
name 'em.
Are you okay?
Name them.
So, two parts left of the reunion from where we last left you. Mm-hmm. Kyle doing my bloody head in.
Yes.
My what's Naomi's pet peeve in the Bravoverse? A lack of accountability.
Yes.
And Kyle just not taking any accountability for recklessly insinuating that Sutton has an eating disorder.
Yeah.
In fact, defending it. Mm-hmm. As if fair enough questions about her marriage on a reality show where you've chosen to open up about everything is the same as then insinuating someone has an eating disorder. It's not.
And I thought it was a beautiful comeback from Sutton where she referenced the watch the show, the yes. Denise comment, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Was,
and she
there
also
was ample
said,
evidence yeah. of her being mean to Sutton.
Yeah.
None
and
of
we've
which.
All seen it.
She was willing to take on the chin.
And Kyle actually said at one point, those words never came out of my mouth. And Sutton said, no, those words won't come out of your mouth because you're very smart. And that's exactly what it is. This pattern of insinuating and then going, but I didn't actually say anything.
She
doesn't matter.
Groomed Anna Marie to do the whole esophagus gate.
I mean,
where did Anna Marie first get the esophagus information from, if not Kyle?
And also, if Anna Marie wasn't on this season, if Rinna had never left mm-hmm. after last season, would it have been Rinna poking at the esophagus thing? Yeah, it would have.
Yeah.
And why? Because Kyle is the chess player. Kyle is the puppet master.
Yeah.
Everything she accused LVP of,
she
is guilty of, in my opinion.
Absolutely. What did you make of the whole second part of the reunion? Because what were the main themes that were going on in that reunion?
I mean, it was largely Kyle being held to account for her recklessness, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish anybody in that show would take responsibility for their insinuations.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. They think that because it's insinuated and they haven't directly said, it's like, okay, maybe I can't sue you for slander,
mm-hmm.
but you are insinuating something that's damaging. And they never take any responsibility for that. It's so annoying.
It's so irritating.
Because as Sutton says, we've seen the show. We're not stupid.
Yeah.
Well, we're
a
bit stupid. But...
Yeah, we are a bit stupid.
I mean, we're watching, so we're a bit thick.
Yeah. I mean, it was quite entertaining to watch. We didn't quite get round, did we, in that second reunion to the, they left the meat on the bone, as they always do in the Bravo reunions
for
that third part, didn't they?
And there was a glorious moment of hypocrisy from Kyle, where she brought up her dear friend, Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
May she rest in peace. But Kyle said, where is everyone's compassion for someone who's just lost someone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's scan back a little bit, shall we, to when LVP lost her brother again to suicide.
Yeah.
And started crying and saying to Kyle, I'm not myself. I'm out of sorts. This has been mm-hmm. a really tough time for me. And what did Kyle say? We all have stuff going on.
Yeah.
Remember when Kyle was appalled that Sutton said, you know, well, I've been putting out fires too about Dorit's home invasion. She's mm-hmm. guilty of that too. Mm-hmm. She did that to LVP when she just lost her brother.
Yeah.
In the worst way I think you could lose someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
over Kyle.
Carl's, I'm over Kyle. I'm sorry. It pains me to say it. She's an OG, but
I still felt as well that Kyle has manoeuvred. I think the scales are starting to fall from the eyes of a few of the other women that would normally be on her side. Yes. I'm not seeing Dorit backing her anymore.
Dorit's been too hurt by her at this point.
Yeah. Dorit's pretty much calling her out now, isn't she, on her BS? I think she's definitely upped her grooming of Erica, because I think we've seen a little bit more of a friendship between them towards the end of this last season than I've really seen before.
I think so. And I think she thought that Anna Marie would be a replacement for Rinna, and I don't think she counted on Anna Marie being so universally disliked as she has been. So now she's kind of like, well, that blew up in my face.
Yeah, yeah. But Anna Marie's still standing by her, isn't she? She can tell that Anna Marie is just still everything she says, she just kind of sits and nods.
Yeah. Well, she has nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
I think what is fascinating is that we really saw Kyle squirm in this reunion.
Yeah.
She's so uncomfortable. She's angry. She's defensive. She's bitchy. She's losing her cool. And she's been able to maintain her cool in past reunions because Erica was doing the shouting and losing her cool. Rinna was doing the shouting and losing her cool. Kim was doing the shouting and losing her cool. And now
the focus
there's
is
no
on
one
her.
There's there aren't there isn't that many people left to defend Kyle. Erica, I feel like she's got her back, but at the same time she's like, I had to go through this. It's your reunion now.
And
she's
ultimately
expecting her to stand on her own.
Ultimately, Erica will only ever have her own back.
Yes.
Because she's strong enough to do that. I thought it was so mean spirited when she called out Sutton on the cashmere and horse.
Oh, it was really harsh, wasn't it? Particularly when I think actually we saw quite a sweet side of Sutton. She talked about losing Merce, her friend, and she talked about how she connected that with losing her other father figure, her actual father, who again, she lost to suicide. So surely there's some kind of compassion there for Kyle. And also about then losing the other male figure in her life, her husband, and how he's now moving countries. And she opened up a bit about how she has been under his control. What he has said has gone for a really long time, and he had dictated that her son would be moving to England. She's been dealing with all of this. She's been opening up to us. And for Carl to reduce it to cashmere and a horse.
I think if anybody's had an arc this season and allowed us to follow that arc, it's been Sutton.
Yeah, and it's been really, really nice.
I think Sutton's sort of been the star of the show. She's had a double act with Harvey, which has been hugely entertaining.
Yeah,
I mean, even though the Merce thing was like, it was the entry point to all that stuff to do with their father, the Merce thing in itself was kind of entertaining, albeit sad. But it brought that nice mix that we love in The Housewives, which is that mix of humour and, you know, some actual sadness and tragedy that happens in the real world.
Insanity and pathos.
Insanity and pathos side by side, which we absolutely love in The Housewives. And Sutton sort of kind of managed to sum it up. Now, if you go back to episode one of this podcast, when we first started, I was like, I don't know if Sutton can even justify being on Beverly Hills. I was not Team Sutton, not one bit. I was not backing Santos. I was like, my money is not on that horse. Mm-hmm. She probably will not make it to another season of The Real Housewives. And now I'm like, she's come out in the lead. She's a nose ahead. I cannot
stretch
this
MVP?
Horse metaphor any further. But do you know where I'm getting? I'm getting to.
Is she your MVP then? Is she your most valuable player this season?
She is my most valuable player.
I agree. I would give it to Sutton too.
I would give the crown to Sutton.
Just enough personal stuff, just enough comedy stuff. And she's engaged with the other women. She's started a bit of trouble. She's defended herself well.
And she's fair. And she even when she had the right, and we've seen it on other franchises, even when she had the right with Anna Marie to absolutely draw the line and create what would be a rift in a group. And once you've got a massive rift in a group, the season becomes very us and them, and it's quite hard to watch. Like you've got in Potomac at the moment, where there's, you know, just two sides and it just gets a bit difficult.
Yeah.
She didn't allow that rift to happen. She was forgiving. She was absolutely instantly forgiving to Anna Marie. She showed an incredible amount of grace in that situation.
I think
far more grace than Kyle's ever shown to a comment that Dorit made on a couch in a reunion.
Yeah.
That was just to say, I think you need to see Kathy's point of view a little bit, in what was a really awkward moment in a reunion when she could see people were struggling.
Yeah. She was trying to bridge that gap, because we do need that. We need our mediators. We need people who are going to bring the girls back together.
Otherwise, we're watching two different shows. And that's what's happening
that's what Potomac is at the moment.
Yeah. We're watching two different shows, and that gets very, that gets old quickly in my mind.
So what did we think about Sutton's, what should we call it? A funny turn, I guess.
I know you'll have all watched it, because you wouldn't be on this listening to this podcast, I'm sure, if you hadn't. But if you haven't seen it yet, Kathy makes a grand entrance, and the women are obviously shocked by this, because it appears that only Kyle knew about it.
Yeah.
So she comes on looking like a disco ball, doesn't she?
Now, I have something to say here as well, because this is what annoys me. It's almost like Kyle is a producer on the show. Why does Kyle get Kathy? So why is Kathy there? Kathy is irrelevant this season. Kathy is as relevant as having Lisa Rinna there.
I don't understand why Kathy's
there. And it's because Kyle wanted the support. And I think Kyle said, I'll only do the reunion if you let Kathy come and sit next to me.
It reminded me a little bit of when we got Mary on Salt Lake City.
Yes. It's like, oh, you need some drama, don't you?
You need a bit of drama, and we need somebody to defend Kyle.
And they brought Mary on to defend Monica, didn't they? Yeah,
they bring an extra player on to do some defending.
And I don't think it's fair, because Erica didn't get...
No, like, she didn't get a handheld.
She didn't get Yolanda or someone to come on and defend her.
No.
She stood alone.
Yeah.
And she should have.
And they know, Bravo know that she is Mrs. Hollywood.
Yes. It's a totally different rule of... Like, it's a totally different set of rules for Kyle, and it annoys me.
Yeah,
because she's not that special. Like the house.
So she arrives on, and I'm not even sure they were her legs. She sort of.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
So she sort of glides onto the set, doesn't she?
Mm.
Like this old Hollywood glamorous ghost that appears on set, like we're in some mad play now. It was weird, wasn't it?
I felt like we were in
Blythe Spirit. That's a very niche reference. I'm not sure she's like an old coward play. She just kind of glides on.
Yeah.
And it was like Sutton had seen a ghost.
I don't understand why Sutton would have something to be so nervous about with Kathy.
Kathy has recently
said on social media, everything's fine with me and Sutton. I don't believe her
because Kathy said, as soon as she took the turn, I was going for Sutton next.
Yes.
She
said she knew I was coming for her, and that's her way of getting out of it. Erica and Kathy's reaction to Sutton's turn wasn't great.
No compassion.
Didn't look good, did it?
Didn't give a shit.
Dorit was genuinely a bit frightened, I think.
Yeah, Dorit is like sensitive though, isn't she?
And
if we know
Kyle
anything
was
about
standing
Dorit,
up and going, is everything all right? You know,
I just wanted to kill Anna Marie. I thought, oh, here we go, Nurse
that
Marie.
That was great when the paramedics corrected her, though, weren't they? Like, we need to call 911. I'm like, we don't need to call 911. You can see Anna Marie going, I'm a duck. Oh fuck.
Yeah, but I'm a doctor. Oh, I'm not a doctor. I'm a nurse anaesthetist. Is that how you say it?
Damn, I forgot you were here.
Yeah. But there was definitely, yes, she was hot. Yes, she was on set. But I could just see a panic attack happening. I think she was panicking. I think she was.
And she said twice, I got scared.
I got scared. She said, I'm scared. And I think her blood pressure just went up and she fainted.
Yeah.
And it's quite hard to faint sitting down because nobody notices. So.
And Erica that, even said she lost consciousness there for a hot minute. And
it's like, I think well, she you did.
You don't seem worried.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. I think she did. I think the woman had a panic attack. I think she thought she was going to be challenged over whatever she'd said in the thing. You know, when they had the argument after
she,
the.
Yes, she did say you've lost your sisters or something, didn't she? And yeah. Which was a low blow.
And then she said, yes, me and Kathy had an argument and when I rung up and I do think Kathy's something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but she did say something about Kathy on camera. And I think that is the number one rule probably in those Hollywood Hills. You never mention Kathy on camera because the Queen will have you up to the Hilton Towers and just chop your head off.
And it's interesting because Sutton can
social
go-
death.
Sutton can go nose to nose with anyone and hold her own. She's not afraid of it. She's gone nose to nose with Erica when Erica was at her most rabid, for want of a better turn of phrase.
I think we have to try and understand what is the socialite world behind those
That's
cameras.
That's the thing. So again, it's that thing. What upset her about the Erica thing, it was her reputation. It was the mm-hmm. idea of her social standing taking a hit. Uh-huh. So that matters to Sutton, as we know. As she says with the magic mic thing, you know.
There's a whole world behind the cameras that we don't understand. That
yes.
we see a portion of that socialite world, don't we? But there's another yeah. world behind it that we'll never get access to.
And
it's
I think
probably
also
a level
the real
above.
Housewives level. And
yeah,
then
exactly what
society.
I was
going to
get. Yeah. yeah. This society mm-hmm. above that probably looks down on all that and thinks yes. that's cheap and tacky and that they would never do that. And Sutton has a foot in that world mm-hmm. and she's terrified of losing that foot in.
She doesn't want to not get invited to the Met Ball next year,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Because she is on a different
And Hilton has, Kathy has the strings. I mean, I don't even know, right? So I stay in Hilton hotels all the time when we're on the road because they're mid-price hotels that a promoter will pay for.
Right.
But there's thousands of them.
Yeah.
They're in every town and city you drive
every,
through.
Every single airport that exists in this world has about three.
Yeah. So how wealthy are they? I mean, did they float that company on the stock market? Do they actually own that company? Did they sell it? I have no idea. I'd no love idea. To know, actually. And I know there's some really intelligent women that listen to this podcast. So if you have any idea about the actual wealth of the Hiltons and whether they own those Hilton hotels or they sold it on the stock market, I'd be fascinated to know.
I'd say they're probably still stock shareholders or something.
Yeah, but
and
I'd love to know.
A significant amount.
I'd love to know what the real power is. It's like Succession, I bet, that whole
That's
household.
That's why I think Rinna and even Erica were kind of excited to bring her down.
Mm.
But it's like...
Backfired.
This is too high for you. You are living in the housewives world, not the Hilton's world, and you're trying yeah. to meddle in the Hilton's world and you'll just get swatted out of the way like a fly.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think we saw a very powerful physical reaction to what she felt was a really strong psychological threat.
I agree. I wish Kyle and Kathy the best in their relationship and I wish Kim all the best. I am so bored of this storyline with these three sisters.
Mm.
I'm so bored of dissecting
it. I mean, it's not Succession, is it? It's not
no.
what we want to watch like, on this.
I don't particularly care. It's too much. Like, two of them aren't even on the show anymore. Why are we still spending the better part of a reunion episode dissecting their relationship?
I mean,
I
did quite enjoy the scary tigers on the wall.
I mean, that's always fun.
I like the madness of her. But I'm not sure I want the politics of it anymore.
One thing I found quite interesting was Mauricio has definitely been stirring up shit with the Hiltons.
Yes.
Talking on his Netflix show about how they didn't respect him or they didn't show him any sort of compassion or, you know,
respect. Yeah, 100%.
Now, did him doing this start the trouble with him and Kyle? Or is he doing this because he's he knows he's lost Kyle and he's got no allegiance to the Hiltons anymore.
Yeah, I could not work that out. I could not really scratch beneath the surface because Kyle just won't let the public go there, will she? She just won't let us in. There was a little hint of the way that this all started was that he nicked some staff from the Hiltons and like that's a line you must never cross.
But so, he also had his own sort of his own company within Hilton Highland and took that company with him to start his own company. So it's a grey area, isn't it?
It sounds like you've hit the nail on the head. Now, as time's moved on and now that she's pulling away from Mo, it almost feels like, well, that's what's brought them back together. That's why Kathy's been let back in again. Yeah. And now he feels free to talk shit about them.
Mauricio now has no allegiance whatsoever to the Hiltons.
And he'd only also, do
the
that.
The agency is huge.
Yeah.
So he's got nothing to lose by talking crap about them.
And I only think he'd do that if he felt like there was no going back to Kyle.
Yeah. So it's obviously over.
It's over.
And he has, and like that's a real sign that he is out. Now, whether she pushed him out or what.
Big question, Naomi.
Why was Merce in the purse again? I know. I'm so Who the hell knows? But I was happy to see him. And he was touched.
So who the fuck is in? I now feel like the big question is for our listeners, was Arvie in the sea?
We haven't seen him, have we?
So who was in the purse in the sea? Was it Arvie?
Well, no, but you'd be surprised. When you get ashes of a loved one, there's a lot.
You told me this before.
Yeah, I've still got Mummy in the cupboard. Mummy's in the cupboard.
Arvie's in the sea. Merce is still in the purse. I feel like this is a mystery. I want to be on one of those podcasts, you know, where two women get together and they're about 19 and they solve a murder. This could be us now. This is our
Figuring
new podcast.
What happened to Merce.
And then we just talk very quietly.
So we went to
Spain, and what we discovered was
that in the sea was just some cigarettes. It was never a human. So then we moved
on to a local.
To let's call a spade a Morgan Wade.
Oh, no, just a minute, though.
Go on.
I feel like I'm out of order. I am out of order often.
You're always out of order.
What? Did she answer the question first about the trust issue? What broke her trust?
She talked about social media, didn't she?
Well, because I wanted
to ask
you,
following
my big
and
question
DMing.
Actually was before you were so smart and funny and being a wise.
Oh yeah, you had an actual question.
Yeah,
such a wise ass.
Such a wise ass. I love Francophone Americanism. And
I know
sounds so ridiculous. Was what is the break of trust? Because everybody out there is going to be guessing. We need to say what we think.
She did say that he'd discovered what DMs are and he was following women and liking their pictures and he had discovered what DMs are, which I assume means he was then
Did she say that
DMing
on the reunion?
Women. Yes.
Oh God, I miss that.
So
I was probably weak with hunger.
So either he's been messaging girls or he's actually crossed a more intimate line than that.
Do you think he sent a dick pic?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Do you imagine Mo's dick?
Sent a picture of his love bean. Nobody needs
Maybe
that.
He's been saying, can you send me a picture of your love bean? And I'll send you a picture of my Big Mo. Do you think he calls it Big Mo?
Big Mo, yeah, probably. He probably swings it in the air and does, you know, that toast he always did? Alentro, acentro. He's probably swinging it all around while he does that.
Does he think he helicopters?
Oh, there's no doubt.
He probably does sends like a little live video of him helicoptering.
It's obviously a betrayal. I think it's another woman or other women. And it's either as mild as he was messaging or sending pictures or something, or liking pictures girls were sending him, or he actually crossed a line and got physical with someone. She's never going to say, she wants to protect her family and 4 kids. That's fair enough. But it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
I got the impression that she was saying, my take, hot take, is that the rumours that have been going on and on and on and on and on for years and years and years started to add up to the truth.
Yes. It started to all make a horrible big picture.
Yeah.
And she couldn't keep ignoring it, and she couldn't keep... Because the other thing is as well, even if he hasn't done anything wrong, he clearly puts himself in positions that allow people to speculate that he's doing something wrong, and that's still humiliating for her.
It's a little bit like Juan. It's like a game of Cluedo, isn't it? Juan just found himself in a hotel room with a key card, but he didn't do it. You know, it's like you keep finding yourself in these situations. The press keep finding things about you next to women or with rumours of women coming forward. And you look at what's happening in the UK now and all the allegations and the Me Too allegations, which, you know, rightly are upheld, that it feels like smoke and fire.
Yeah.
Bit and too much smoke.
I think if I was Carl, I'd be like, look, if you really love and respect me, you would never put yourself in a position where anyone would be able to say you've done anything wrong.
Exactly. And, you know, Mo is in the word smoke. It's literally about him, isn't it?
God, you're good. God, that's good. I enjoyed that.
I feel like the podcast for, our murder mystery podcast is coming up soon. We'll call it Smoke.
It's just going to be about no smoke without fire. No smoke. Without fire. So let's close up Beverly Hills with Morgan Wade.
Come on, Wade Spade.
She did not shut this down, did she?
If anything, she looked like a slightly giggly... I felt like there was a little flush about her.
And when Kyle said that she was making this music video and that part of her was obviously curious to make this video with Morgan and to kiss Morgan, and Kathy
says... And Morgan
says,
is hot.
Mm-hmm. And Kathy says, don't be embarrassed, which rather suggests that she's had this conversation with Kathy. She's not shutting this narrative down. I don't know if this was a soft coming out.
Yeah.
If there will be some big announcement in the next few weeks about her and Morgan, and they'll finally make it official.
There was that thing in the press that she'd been snubbed when she went to see her and on tour, but I thought that was over-egged.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
I don't think that's anything.
I think they're fine. And I think Morgan, like, if Morgan was doing it for publicity, why would she delete all the Instagram posts? I think they're together. I think they may very well have not been together for all this time.
Yeah.
When they were filming and stuff. But they had chemistry and they had an attraction to each other. I'd be surprised if that hasn't spilled over. And she's not shutting down that she would never be with a woman. She's not shutting down that she would never be with Morgan.
I think you're absolutely right. Because don't you get the feeling from Morgan Wade's Spade that... I don't think we should carry that on. I'm not sure. It feels wrong, but somehow so right. Morgan Wade's Spade, who calls a spade, Wade Spade, it's got too much integrity to perpetuate such nonsense. She's too much about her music.
Yes, and it's about
being
in
the countryside and running around with dogs. I made her sound like a wolf, but... She's not the kind of woman that would court this kind of publicity.
No, and she doesn't need to. She's already doing great in the
music sphere. She's too cool, isn't she?
She's far too cool to be part of this. I was really surprised she agreed to be filmed.
Morgan Wade Spade Wade is the kind of woman that I want her to be my friend. I'm like, hey, Morgan, do you fancy going for a coffee?
Like, I think that's why Dorit's a bit threatened by her as well.
Yeah. Do you want to go out for a coffee with me, Morgan Wade Spade? Because I really like to be your friend. I'll even like have, I don't know, decaf oat milk with you. And she'll go, Nina, you're a bit much.
Yeah. And that's why Dorit does not, because Dorit can show up in a designer outfit. She's not going to be able to talk about it with Morgan.
Yeah.
Morgan's going to roll her eyes because design labels don't matter. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's why Dorit's a bit like, I don't know what to do with her.
Whereas Dorit would go, I go, Dorit, do you want to come out with a coffee with me? And she'd go, yeah, yeah, when you want to go.
Great impression. Nailed it. But so I think my money is on Kyle and Morgan announcing a relationship or releasing a PDA picture soonish. I'm
quite excited for them. I think it's quite cute. I'm liking the hot women together. It happened in Selling Sunsets recently.
It did. I like to live vicariously through other people's sexy lesbian relationships because I'm a very boring vanilla heterosexual.
Exactly. So the I'm you know, I've dabbled.
You've dabbled, have you?
I have dabbled. So I
knew there was a way you looked at me.
I know. So I, when I was younger, I did have some relationships with women, but I'm in a heterosexual marriage now. But my kids know about this. This is not me coming out.
Yeah.
But so I think it's lovely. I think it's really nice.
I think it's lovely. I think it's nice to see. And but, I liked that she wasn't shutting it down in a way. She wasn't ashamed of it. She was like, oh, obviously part of me was curious and stuff. I was like, that's honest.
Yeah.
This is good, Kyle. This is what we wanted, a little bit of honesty.
And that woman in, I'm loving that relationship in Selling Sunset. So she was married to the really hot man out of This Is Us. He's an actor.
Justin Hartley, yeah.
Oh, my God, he's hot.
He is hot.
And he dumped her really unceremoniously, like by text.
By text? Well, he announced he'd filed for divorce by text.
By text, which
that is harsh.
And she is stunning. I mean, they are a hot couple. She's stunning. Then she ended up going out with the guy from...
Jason.
Yeah. Jason. Of the very short...
I always
short...
want to say Oppenheimer, but that's not what he's
Oppenheimer,
called,
yeah. The Oppenheimer twins. Like, neither of them do it for me.
No.
And that finished because he didn't want to have children. And then she ended up with this gorgeous, again, music. Another singer. She's Australian, isn't she?
She is. G.
G.
G something.
See, I've not, like, we will cover Selling Sunsets because we are real Housewives guilty secrets, but Naomi and I have already discussed, we're just willing to be guilty secrets. So if there's any other, because we're both fans of a lot of reality TV, so if there's anything else you fancy, if you fancy us covering it, we are freaking up for that.
Yes, we're on the socials at RH Guilty Secrets. So tell us if we're missing something. Something we should be watching.
I love Below Deck.
Never seen Below Deck.
I love Selling Sunsets. There's so much that I love. I love
The Valley. The Valley is starting.
I'm telling you what I love now. And if you want us to cover this, I would go. This would be my dream. If there's anyone out there that loves Married at First Sight, please, please, God, let us cover it because
I'm throwing this
out. I am mad for
90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiancé, that is her jam.
That is Naomi's jam. Filth. I love that shit.
She loves it so much. She's talked
spread
to her about
that on a cracker.
Yeah, she has gone on about it off camera. So yeah. I know this is her jam. Maths, I've been going on about for years that I'd love to cover on a podcast. So get on to it. We can always throw it in. So let us know. Like, we haven't, you know, got, like, we're not watching enough telly.
Right, guys, yeah. We better move on, Nina. We're gassing away. We've got so much to cover. Oh, let's go to Miami.
Miami.
Because he's a damn saint for listening to all the Lenny stories. It's a lot.
Lenny Hoxton. He's really disappointed me. Super disappointed me.
So Lenny is suing Lisa for cutlery. That's fun.
Called it. I told you this wouldn't be simple. Has he started building the house? No. Is he ever going to build that house?
No. He's a bully.
He's a bully. He's a controlling, abusive man. And that man, you know, is going to go on probably and control and abuse his current partner if he's not already. I don't care, Lenny, if you find out I said that. Come for me.
Yeah, come for her. Leave me alone. So I think Nicole was shady for inviting Anna to the Mamacita brunch, but how cute was it when Adriana apologised to her for putting her in the fray with a rose?
Adriana has gone like strong cheddar.
She has. The poetry's a bit much.
Cheesy. She's gone proper cheesy this episode.
I blame Emilio Esteban.
I know. I mean, Emilio Esteban in himself is nostalgic cheese, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I feel like I associate him more with the 80s. But this she's gone very poetic, and I love Adriana. I mean, I've been shouting out for her all along because there's something about her that cuts through the bullshit. She sees things from other people's point of view. She can be quite compassionate. But when she does this kind of, I mean, she did a bloody prayer at one point.
She did, yeah. Like, she's committing to this.
We cannot, if we decide, because Housewives is a game, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
If we decide to frame it along the lines of peace and love, everybody, we're only just dots of bacteria in the universe and nothing matters, it's fucking game over.
Mm-hmm.
It just kills it.
Yep. Completely agree.
Just play the game.
Play the game. Now, my most exciting part of Miami was Gertie finally coming for Larsa.
Oh, yes.
We've been waiting for this.
Oh, yes.
And she was so good. She was powerful. She said, "You took the worst time of my life and you made it worse."
God,
you know, like,
her.
Oh, she really stood up for herself. She really was strong. She was still, it's a deeply emotional thing for her. She was very articulate. And Larsa still will not fucking apologize. Climb down, Larsa.
Just, get off
she
that
actually
throne.
Said at one point, "You hurt my feelings too. Dear God, we're talking about cancer."
Yeah.
Like, so embarrassing. So cringe.
I know. She sat there.
Like, hello, Sandoval. Like, they should get together.
Absolutely.
Larsa and Sandoval should get together. That's a match.
She was literally sat there on a throne, wasn't she?
Ugh.
Unable.
She's my villain.
Yeah, she is a villain. Unable to just take it on the chin.
Yeah.
And just admit defeat. We're back to what we said last episode. Just drop the bread. Just
drop the bread.
Everybody will allow you to have a second go if you just admit you were appalling. It's unforgivable. But yet, we will forgive you if you just say you were wrong. But Gertie standing in her power, being just beautifully articulate. And she's so articulate, isn't she?
Yes. And given what a deeply emotionally charged subject this is and how fresh it is for her, how raw it is for her, she articulated herself well. She stood up for herself. She was passionate, but she was, you know, she was great. I just,
love.
Gertie won the reunion.
Chef's kiss. Talk about how we had a slightly, and I think it's going to change the board for the start of the next season, where we saw Alexia accusing everyone of being liars. That had become a bit of a theme through the two reunions.
Yes.
And how that has now affected her and Marisol's relationship right towards the end of the second reunion.
Alexia's kind of leaving herself on a little island, I think.
Mm. And Marisol is pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Marisol was
And
Marisol's her ride or die. But Marisol was really unhappy with it. She was like, "What did you mean by that?" And she was like, "Well, you just bullshit." What was she saying? You don't hear anything. You're a bullshitter. Yeah. Marisol was said out loud, "That is offensive."
Yeah. Alexia's not a good arguer. She's the opposite of Gertie, Alexia. She gets really like wound up. She's not coherent. She's not eloquent. And she just starts coming, like throwing daggers at everyone. And she's going to end up on an island on her own.
But Marisol and her have always had a pact to have each other's back. And that's what we've seen. Right. But in that instant, she never had a back. She didn't have a back. And I think Marisol was winded. She looked absolutely winded by it.
She did.
Like, this is not how we work. This isn't this isn't the agreement. This isn't what we do in a reunion. We have each other's back. I think they're going to blow. I think that's going to blow.
I think that's going to be the opening of our next season of Miami is going to be those two at odds, because that's quite a big betrayal for Marisol, I think.
Yeah. Kiki, I think, you know, it was lovely to see that Kiki was able to show, like, was acknowledged the depth of her character, where she's from, the journey that she's had compared to a lot of these wealthy women. That was really nice to see. That was acknowledged, that we saw a bit more of Kiki this season, and she's a proper housewife now.
Yes, she is. And she stood up for herself, and she's acquitted herself well, I think.
I think she's my player.
She's your MVP?
I really like Kiki.
I really like Kiki. She'd be up there for me. I think my MVP...
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be
Gertie. It's got to be Gertie, probably.
Gertie
and
Kiki.
The other person I would throw into the mix is Julia, because Julia, to me, is kind of the perfect housewife. There's comic relief. There's serious insight into deeply emotional things going on in her life.
And she can't dress herself.
She will stir some shit up.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a troublemaker.
And she can't dress herself, so we just never
know. That is the worst reunion outfit of all time, isn't it?
Yeah. It
made me like it
bad.
Almost. Yeah, it was stunningly bad. That was exactly
Yeah.
So bad, so, it's good.
Yeah. So I'm quite excited to see what they do next season. I wonder if they'll bring somebody new in to shake that up, but it's already quite electric in terms of dynamics, so they might not need to.
They might not need to.
But Adriana, I think she's been doing ketamine, hasn't she?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the ketamine therapy thing.
I think the ketamine therapy's gone a bit too far, and Adriana needs to
calm down.
Yeah,
once you start writing poems, not the ketamine.
Poems, prayers, and, you know, roses.
Letters from people's organs.
Letters. Like, it's too performative. What? Oh, can I just say, I cried at the end.
Did you?
Yeah.
Look at you. You need some more calories.
I know. So what I thought was really beautiful, and I was making a coffee at the time and watching, was he'd sort of done a lovely callback, Andy. Props to Andy. Andy, just very, very good telly. Bravo, bravo. So they'd sort of teased out of Adriana, what did you think of Julia's singing? Mm-hmm. Adriana had been very patronising, but he had brought up the singing, so he's planted the seed. And then they ended the show with that gorgeous aria. It was just beautiful.
And then Julia joined in.
Julia joined in, but she didn't ruin it. It was nice.
It was lovely.
I cried.
Aww.
It made me cry. I was very moved.
It was very nice. It was very nice.
Andy
knows how to pull our strings, doesn't he?
But he didn't. It wasn't so sentimental that you felt
it was
over the top.
Nice.
It was just right. I was like, fuck you, Andy.
Fuck you, Cohen.
Fuck you, Cohen. I'm a hard northern bitch. With tears.
Evidently not.
Tears of grit. And now here I am blubbing over a latte. Come on, mate. But very good. Good. Bravo, bravo.
Shall we go over to Potomac?
If we can. Potomac.
The rule can't change because of social media. The line is always moving.
Okay.
Oh, these women are not worth the running eyeliner.
So we were leaving them off in their last day or two in the Dominican Republic, wasn't it?
That was right.
Right, yeah. And I think Candace and Robin aren't making up anytime soon. That was pretty unpleasant. Ashley has a crush on Karen's trainer, Vernon. And they all
thought that was all yeah, that was quite funny. I mean, it's obvious that she chooses her trainers not by their discipline.
Right. Or their skills or their qualifications or their experience.
Yeah. It's not what we call an equal opportunities interview, is it?
Yeah. See, I'm the opposite. If I'm working out, I would rather have someone kind of fat and ugly.
Yeah.
Like, because I need to concentrate.
I don't want to be judged either on my flabby thighs.
Someone who's clearly got their shit under control. I don't want them telling me to run around.
I want a small, fat, balding man who, compared to him, I look pretty hot. Do you know what I mean? I want someone that's a three. I'm a six. I need a three.
You are not a six, darling. You're a solid 8.5, like Anna Marie. We all are. We all are, and we all just need to admit it. We're all solid 8.5.
We're all solid 8.5. So I don't want somebody judging me.
Robin getting really involved in it, though. It's like, okay, as we just said, she likes a bit of eye candy. Why do you care so much? Why do you keep poking at it?
I think Robin feels like she's got a little foot in the door after she found out that Karen's got a special file on her.
Yeah.
And I think she's like, she's prodding the bear now. She's having fun with this bear. She's like, uh-oh, got you now. Got your corner, bear. Hugo Bear.
She's really looking for something, isn't she?
Yeah. Hugo Bear's in the corner.
And talking about poking the bear, Wendy tells Ashley that Mia thinks she's a gold digger. Thanks, Wendy.
I thought that was so out of order.
Wendy is out of order.
Order!
Wendy's my villain. She's my villain of
Can we have a sound effect for out of order? You know what I really like? Order. Do you remember that parliamentary speaker? That, did he not end up sacked? Can we have him? Order.
Yeah, we'll have him, please.
For out of order.
Wendy is out of order.
Order!
There you go. But, there you go. Jacob, you can do it again.
Then they left... DR went home, went straight home into some coochie lasering.
Which is fun.
I'm glad we took the cameras
what?
In there.
You know what? It was also kind of educational because I was like, my friend's completely lasered. I found this out about 10 years ago.
She liked one of those hairless cats.
Yeah. And I thought, fucking hell, how long did that take? Like, I thought they individually lasered the hairs, like one at a time.
No, I don't think. Well, it was interesting, wasn't it?
But
every woman watching that went, oh, I need to get this done.
Yeah. But it's actually quite a quick fix.
Yeah.
But then when they were doing her coochie, to me, it just looked like they were doing like the bikini line at the top.
Yeah. I don't know how down and dirty they got, but perhaps the cameras weren't there for that.
Can they do all your coochie?
I would assume so.
I was left confuddled by the whole.
I think we just didn't want to put that on TV. And we should thank them for that.
But we've seen women's vaginas being steamed.
Well, that's true, we have, haven't we? We've seen a fair few.
We've seen a lot of vagina steaming. And we've witnessed all sorts of shit. I was confused.
Cherise shared that.
Let me know
asked...
if you can do the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Do let us know. Because this, if we're not laughing, we're learning. Cherise revealed that she'd been asked by a masseur if she wanted a vaginal massage, which is the worst way of describing fingering I've ever heard. I mean, fingering isn't great, is it? Fingering is pretty basic. Fingering just, you know, that's 16 years old kind of.
I did not think I would be talking about fingering today.
Hey, there's always time to talk about fingering or vaginal massage. It sounds so awful.
A vaginal massage. Is that like a happy ending? Is that what we're asking?
But it's such an awful way of describing.
Which massage are you going to that they're offering? I go to Cathy in Hebden Bridge, never once. And Hebden
now you
Bridge,
know what to ask for.
Hebden Bridge is a capital for lesbians in Europe. And never once have I been offered.
Maybe you need to ask for it. You need to go in and say, look, I've pulled my vagina. Can you give it a good vaginal massage, please?
But I'm astonished that this stuff goes on.
Well, me too. But, you know, Denise Richards and Aaron will tell us that it does. But, yeah.
What the hell
nice
is going
to,
on?
I'm glad she shared. I'm glad we know.
Because is it normal practice? Does it happen to rich women?
It seems to be a lot more out there than I assumed it was. And I am wondering if I need to spend a bit more money on my massage. Now, I don't want
a vaginal massage.
I don't want that, but I would like to be offered.
Yeah, it's almost like
I would
one
like
of those
to turn
things.
It down.
Yeah, it's almost like one of those things like, what's wrong with my vagina?
Yeah. Why has nobody...
Yeah.
I'm very tense. Why has nobody offered?
Didn't they in the old days when you
I'm
used to go... But they did do that, didn't they? Like in the 1800s, you go to your GP and if you had stress, the GP would give you a vaginal massage because apparently that was
the way... To relieve your hysteria.
To relieve your hysteria. Oh, how things have changed.
I know. It's not all positive, this feminism, is it? We've lost some good shit too. You used to get wanked off by your doctor when you had a headache. I mean,
wank on the
now
NHS.
You just get antidepressants.
Yeah, you used to get a wank free on the NHS. What would be the equivalent of a vaginal massage? Because it's such a horrible way of putting it, but polite for a bloke. Then is that a penal massage?
Oh God!
What the fuck is it?
Oh Jesus! A limbering of the penis, a limbering up of the penis.
limbering,
a good old limbering up.
A limbering of your length, sir. Would you like a limbering of your length? Geez.
We've gone down a very dark alley here. Let's try and stay on track.
Is dark alley another one?
Yes. Sorry, my dark alley is a bit tense. Would you mind giving me a vaginal massage?
Sorry, guys.
I enjoyed Karen's excuse for not coming to the crab boil because Ray is allergic to crab suddenly.
I love her casual lies.
Do you have a standard excuse that you use when you don't want to do one? Because I do. What I do when somebody invites me to something is I say I've got a gig in Luton. And it's always been Luton.
It's
randomly.
Luton.
Right? It's always, oh, I'd love to, but I'm gigging in Luton, right? I don't know why it was Luton. I think I was just thinking, like, in my head, I think I was like, I'd rather gig in Luton than do that. Like,
yeah. A
but
gig
I made
in Luton.
The mistake of telling my best friend.
No, you've told everybody.
I told I told my friend, I was like, oh, yeah, when I don't want to do something, I say I'm gigging in Luton. And then she invited me to her child's third birthday party.
No,
and I said, oh, I'm gigging in Luton. And she's like, you know what, Naomi, if you don't want to come, just say you don't want to come. So then I had to, like, go on the comedy forum on Facebook and find
and
a gig in Luton.
So that you could say you were actually gigging in Luton.
Yeah, and do you know what? I couldn't find one for that Saturday or whenever it was, but I found one for like the following Thursday or something. So then I sent that to her and I was like, oh, look, I managed to move my gig in Luton to the following Thursday. So I am now free to come to your child's third birthday party.
Oh my God, that is a lot of work.
So not only did I have to go to the toddler's birthday party, I had to go and gig in Luton the following Thursday.
Oh my God.
So upsetting. Sorry if you live in Luton. I'm sure it's lovely. Do you know why I don't like Luton? The airport. Okay. And I know you got the little train now that makes it slightly better. But that bus from Luton train station to the airport, I've done that too many times, too early in the morning to think of anything else when I think
it's
of Luton.
It's very grey.
And stop calling it London Luton Airport. It's Luton Airport. There's no such thing as London Luton. That's lying. That's like saying London Manchester Airport. It doesn't.
And how long is that drive?
I don't know, 19 hours, that's what it feels like. Horrific. But anyway.
I think we can safely say that she doesn't like Luton.
I don't, sorry if you live there. I'm sure it's perfectly pleasant place.
You're triggered.
Yeah, it triggers me. Too many bad experiences.
Take a deep breath.
Thank you. Anyway, so I like the crab allergy excuse and I might use it next time I have to.
I'm trying to think, do I have a standard? I don't think I do have a standard excuse.
You should get one. Because you want
to
have one that flies off the tongue when something comes up.
Yeah. I'm not.
Hey, if you want to use gigging in Luton, I'll share it with you.
Yeah, I'll try that.
You can have gigging in Luton.
Can I have gigging in Luton? I'm gigging in Luton. Maybe I need a northern one. I'm gigging.
Yeah.
In
Halifax.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You need more of a shithole. Burnley. Sorry, Burnley. I'm gigging in Burnley.
Just slagging off the UK, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm gigging in Burnley.
The thing is, I find that if I say I'm gigging in Luton, people just tend to go, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And the conversation's over, you know?
Yeah, Burnley would have a similar effect.
There you go. Right, well, gigging you in use Burnley. That.
I'm right.
You use that this week to get out of something you don't want to do and report back to us next week.
Yeah, I'll try that. You're just good. You're just
Mia and Jacqueline face to face, quite mature, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was not bad, was it?
It wasn't any sort of shouting or fireworks. It was, I quite respected when she said, shall we hug it out? And she went, I need more time. Yeah. Like, fair enough.
Their relationship is deep. Like, it goes back forever.
And it connects to something so serious and emotional. And
I feel like they need couples counselling.
It's beyond a housewife's Barney, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It's too serious. It's too wrapped up in childhood. It's wrapped up in sexual abuse. It's just too much stuff to uncover at a crab boil. So, and I don't know why the other women are getting involved. Do you know?
I know.
Why are you stirring it up? Why are you getting involved? Charisse.
Classic deflection.
You know
classic
what?
Classic deflection.
Here we go. Ranty. I'm triggered. Ranty. Charisse. Always trying to make herself relevant on that programme.
Mm-hmm.
So goes and picks up Mia's old friend to make herself relevant and to bring herself into the show again.
Yeah. Mia handled it beautifully by walking and going, I know they're friends, so it makes sense that she would be here. And you could just feel Charisse going, damn.
Yeah, but I think Charisse has done that absolutely on purpose to make herself relevant and to get on the show again. I'll take it, do a crab bottle. I'll bring Jacqueline. It's Jacqueline, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll bring Jacqueline and that will get me airtime again because she's never let go of the
I'll
fact
be the one that brings them together.
She has never let go of not being on this show. She has never, ever given it up. And it just, she still thinks she's the absolute OG of Potomac and she just cannot give it up. Charisse, give it up. Go away.
Also,
I'm sick of
you. She has no skin in the game at that table, at the crab board. You've got Mia and Jacqueline who are navigating something very complex.
Why did she lose it?
Then you have Candace and Robin going at it and Charisse ends up like, in a way, I was like, yeah, because I hate when Candace argues because she just shouts the same sentence again and again and it's so annoying. So in a way, I was like, yeah, I would lose my temper too.
Yeah.
But the way Charisse loses her temper is just too theatrical. It's too performative.
And why
do
we think
slamming on the table.
Why do you think she's doing that?
Because the whole episode, it was coming up. And she was the coming up because it's someone shouting on the table again.
I think it was an audition. I think it's a desperate audition for Andy and the producers. Big audition for Charisse. Yeah. Here's my moment.
Here's I'm some drama
whole,
for you.
I'm getting a whole episode. I'm going to do a crab boil. And during the crab boil, I'm going to do something so dramatic. It's going to be literal click crab bait for the fishes.
But the other thing was she didn't actually add to the drama. She actually just derailed it. Candace and Robin are having an argument that, you know, viewers are invested in. Mm-hmm. And she just comes in, screams over the top to the point that that's dissolved. Candace and Robin can't argue anymore.
Yeah.
Candace has to leave. Like, I wouldn't stay in someone's house if they were screaming like that. Like, it's ridiculous.
No.
So she actually ended up derailing the drama.
Yeah. And she failed to read the room or the situation because she premeditated what she was going to do.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Charisse,
Thumbs down this week. We're not buying it. You know, worst performance of the week, Charisse.
Yeah. Agreed. Way too over the top. Way too performative.
Didn't like it. Stop it.
Shall we go over to Vanderpump Rules?
Oh my God, yes.
You're a worm with a mustache.
My cards.
Lala and Sandoval.
The fight on the boat.
Yeah. Team Lala all the way.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she?
Sandoval just cannot take any kind of responsibility or accountability. I know I say this every week, but he's still doing it every week and it drives me nuts. And
don't you think he kind of got the message where he said, right, I've come in a bit too hard here.
That's yeah.
sort of what I wanted to do was to make up with you. This mm-hmm. is what my intentions were. I have fucked up here how I've approached this.
But do you know what he wants? This is my issue with Sandoval. He wants the whole thing to blow over
mm-hmm.
without him apologizing for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's blowing over. Sheena's nice to him at the airport. Everyone's tolerating his presence. It's all okay. Then Lala goes, by the way, when you said that, that really hurt me.
Yeah.
That's my issue with you.
Yeah.
You really hurt me when you said that.
Yeah.
And he just blows up and goes, no. I didn't hurt you. I didn't do anything wrong. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, mate, just say sorry.
Yeah.
Because she's been defending him all episode. She's been yeah. saying we can't keep crucifying a man for making one mistake. All he had to do was go, I know, Lala, I'm sorry. My back was against the wall. I was in a really dark place. I should never have said anything.
It's horrendous, isn't it, when you're in an argument and you have to tell the other person why and what your needs are
mm-hmm.
for them to apologize. And she actually had to spell it out for him before he did it.
Yeah. And then he pulled her into a rather uncomfortable hug in a kind of, let's get over it now. Let's not mention it. Let's be done with mm-hmm. it. It's still brushing it all under the carpet.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I feel like him and Ariana are both behaving badly in their own ways, in the sense of Ariana not coming to Sheena's defense and her taking a lot.
She should have done that. She should have said, and she did, but only after Lala spoke to her. That should have been there straight away. In fairness, we're only a couple of months while they're filming this. We're only a couple of months after the whole thing's exploded. And Ariana's dog hurt and humiliated, and you see your best friend with her arm around him, smiling and posing for a picture.
This is on a photograph, if you've not watched it. There was a photograph of them out there in Tahoe, was it? And they're all
And she
together.
Just literally was like, ouch, that hurts. And when someone hurts your feelings, you know, you don't want to jump to their defense, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think Sheena has such a history of being soft and being a flip-flopper and going with whatever looks best or whatever looks easiest, that Ariana was probably like, oh my God, she's going to go back to him. She's going to be friends with him. And I can't tell her not to be, but I don't want to be part of that. And I've told her that.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
So I did feel for Ariana. And in fact, this, when Lala said to her, this is what that looked like, and Sheena came down really hard for that, and, you know, you should have defended her, Ariana went away, thought about it, and defended her.
Yeah, she did. To be fair to Ariana, she did. I think what we're seeing is the problem for me is that I think we're seeing how the whole thing is affecting everybody else. Ariana's only seen a very small side of it, and Sandoval's seeing the other side of it. Of course, Sandoval's the one that's ultimately responsible, but Ariana's only seeing her position. But we are seeing the full picture, and we're seeing somebody like Sheena who's massively struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really felt for her. You know, when they had the girls' night and she sat on the couch in the corner
mm-hmm.
and she's petrified to speak, Sheena. She's petrified to stand yeah. up for herself and say, you know what, I'm hurt here. There's things that I
but
want
to say.
At
the same time, my God, she is making that. She has... We've watched Sheena Shea make it all about herself for many years now. And my God, she is going to die on this hill now. I think she wants what Ariana's had.
Well, she definitely wants the same level. She would definitely want to dance with the stars. Yeah.
But I think she also wants the sympathy, the outpouring of love. I think she wants the, you know, all the advertising opportunities and all that stuff. So she's coming really hard at her. I'm actually the true victim of this.
Okay.
And it's like,
and
you're
do you
not.
Think that's quite? Do you think that's real? Do you think that's what's
in her
mind?
I think it's Sheena
being
Sheena. I think she believes it 100%.
So it's authentic to her, but it's not very likable.
Yeah, but I think everything that Sheena does is authentic to her, and that doesn't make it okay. You've still got to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, like, totally.
This is when we actually break down what Sandoval did. Okay, like this isn't when Jax slept with Faith. Jax hooked up with Faith, right? grotesque thing to do to Britney, really hurtful. But we're talking about Sandoval preaching moral responsibility, preaching accountability, having sex with one of Ariana's closest friends in their bed while Ariana is out of town at her beloved grandmother's funeral, while her longtime dog has just passed away. Then they're having sex in the room next door while Ariana sleeps. Then they're sneaking off at Sheena's wedding in Mexico to have sex. They're sending each other dirty things. This is such a betrayal on so many levels. Sheena, it's not about you. Like, yes, you got caught in the crossfire and it still sucks for you, but Ariana is the true victim in this. Stop trying to outdo her. That's how I feel.
It's a compelling argument, and I think I agree.
Because the actual level of betrayal of what Sandoval did to Ariana is not really like anything we've seen on a Bravo show before, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not on Vanderpump Rules. And people love to say, like, oh, well, they've all cheated on each other. And so there's a difference between your partner going out and getting horribly drunk and sleeping with someone. That's still appalling. But this was so emotional and so deceitful, so underhanded, and it went on for so long, and it would have mm-hmm. kept going on. Mm-hmm. And the end of the relationship would have been engineered around it. And Ariana would have said, I think something was going on with them before because they've hooked up. And you go, oh, no. And she would have been gaslit the shit out of.
Mm-hmm.
It was all set up. And thank mm-hmm. God she found that video on his phone, because otherwise she would never have known the truth.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I agree with all of that. I agree with all of that. However,
go on.
I agree with all of that. She absolutely deserves her feelings over that. There's no doubt about it. She deserves everything that comes to her. She has the right to set her own boundaries.
She does.
I just... there's a bit of me, there's a tiny bit of me, and I have to hold on to it. This proportionality
mm-hmm.
when these things happen. And I think Lala made a really good point about the passage of time. You know,
yeah.
And it's not been long enough yet to
right.
come to a
And
point
I think the others should hold that in mind when they think of Ariana, that Ariana is very raw still. And if I was Sheena, I'd be like, I would be being courteous to Sandoval. I would be hanging out with him in a group setting, and I would be taking it very, very slowly, knowing that mm-hmm. in a year's time, Ariana might feel completely differently.
Yeah, yeah.
But right so, now, it's yeah. raw, and she's hurting, and she doesn't need, you know, Sandoval anywhere yeah. near her.
I you think know? You're right. I think it was a very... I think we agree on this. I think there's where we... and I don't even think it's a departure. I think it's just a kind of, I want them to get to the point of, I suppose, healing. Do you know what I mean? And resolution. But I understand that that's not yet.
It's going to take a lot of time. And but, I don't think it will probably ever happen between Ariana and Sandoval.
No, it won't.
It will come to the point where they can all be, and it may happen this season.
But it's around choices. It's around choices, isn't it? It's around choices. They've chosen to be on this program. They've mm-hmm. chosen to work together. At yeah. some level, they are work colleagues.
Yes, they are. They're classmates on the same show.
And we have to sort of bear that in mind. Work colleagues have got a professional responsibility to absolutely. Each other.
I think what's really frustrating is that if Sandoval had come into this season absolutely hat in hand, hangdog, groveling, falling at their feet, literally, I made a mistake, I did a terrible thing, and I am so sorry, and I want to learn from it and be a big better person, and I'm going to show you that I have,
then things would be a bit different.
Everybody would be in his corner, because they really want a redemption arc for him, don't they?
Yeah.
The producers are really yeah. shoving it down our throat.
Yeah,
but it's really hard to have a redemption arc when no one's showing any redeeming qualities.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
If he's not remorseful, how can we accept his remorse and move on? He's not
absolutely.
Remorseful. He's bitter he got caught, and he doesn't think what he did was that bad. And that is really frustrating.
That's the real struggle with it. I think Lala often speaks what I'm thinking. It's, she might be moving too fast, but I think sometimes she's kind of the voice of reason. I thought that that fight between her and Katie. I often find Katie quite unlikable.
Yeah, I think we all do.
I think Katie can just be a bit too self-righteous.
She can, but I like how much she is standing by Ariana in this. And the other thing is, Sandoval really did Katie dirty as well. He's been gaslighting Katie for a really long time. He's been getting involved in her marriage. He's been taking credit for her household.
But that's Katie's experience of him. Mm-hmm. That's Katie's experience
of him. So Katie is quite happy to not be involved with him.
She's allowed that, and that's a simple decision for her.
Yes.
It's not a simple decision for Sheena. Mm-hmm. It's a different decision for Lala, and you can't control the whole group.
No.
You've got to allow people their different decisions.
Yeah, you do. And I've fallen out with friends and, you know, they're not in my life anymore. And I have mutual friends who still hang out with them. Never once have I been like, don't bring them up to me. I don't want to hear it. Or, you know, like, and, you know, if something in our mutual friends life, something major happens, I expect these other people will be there and I will cross paths with them in the future. And I'm not going to make a fuss about it.
Yeah, totally. You know?
But at the same time, they didn't do to me what Sandoval did to Ariana in front of the whole world.
Totally.
And it didn't happen 6 months ago. So.
Yeah, totally. But like,
it takes time.
It takes time. And these things do happen in the real world and more often probably than we like to think about.
Yeah, I think so.
Unforgivable. And I think, morally unforgivable. Criminally not a crime. Yes. Morally reprehensible.
Yeah. And it's not unforgivable, you know, maybe it's unforgivable to Ariana, and I understand that, but for the friends caught in the middle.
It's about, like, your boundaries within your own relationship. I mean, in some relationships, that would be forgivable. Mm-hmm. Some people come back from that in a relationship. Yeah. That does happen.
Well, look at Brandy Glanville is friends with Eddie Cibrian and Leanne, and they all hang out and have Christmases and Thanksgivings together and stuff.
But these people do need a lot of time to come to that point.
I just think you need the person to take accountability. 100%. How can you forgive someone if they don't ask for your forgiveness?
He's not doing himself any fucking favors.
He's not asking for any forgiveness because he doesn't think he deserves forgiveness. He doesn't think he needs it.
He's a narcissist.
That argument with Lala absolutely summed it up for me on the boat. She has been fighting his corner, whether he knows it or not. Mm-hmm. She has actually been defending him on all sides. And she reached out to Rachel in the first episode back. So she is trying really hard to be fair and to see everything from all points of view. She finally gets a moment to say to him, when you said that, can you understand why that's hard for me to get past? Yeah. That you were preaching to me about how I wasn't real enough and you were keeping this huge secret for 7 months from all of us, like the most reprehensible thing any of us has done. And you were doing it whilst preaching to me about not being real enough. And instead of going, do you know what, Lala, you're right. And I'm sorry. Look, I was messed up and I'm trying to do better. He just goes, Lala, you've never been real and blah, blah, and just doubles down. And it's like, it makes it the producers have set up a redemption arc for him. And he's the barrier.
I know. The man is a complete tit.
He is. He's a complete tit. He's the ultimate villain.
He's the ultimate villain.
And that was the other thing as well. Is like you said, Housewives is a game. Bravo is a game, right? When this came out, he cast himself as the ultimate villain. For someone who has done nothing but preach about accountability and being real and being honest and being a good person, to then have this level of deception and betrayal, like, really engineered for months and months and months.
Let's be honest, it's very good television.
Yeah, he's the ultimate villain. And either you do what maybe he is doing and play into being the ultimate villain, but then don't try to be friends with everyone again.
Yeah.
Or you fall on your sword and go, this is going to be my redemption season, and you are going to see a very different Tom Sandoval, and I am going to be humble and I am going to grovel and I'm going to earn your trust back. And that would be interesting to watch, but he just can't bring himself to do it.
He can't do it. On another lighter note to end off, what do you think about the other Tom having a secret storyline that we didn't bloody really know about with his secret hookup girlfriend?
Jo.
Yeah.
She's a bit much, isn't she?
She's quite a lot, isn't she? But I'm quite fascinated by her, Naomi.
I feel like they would work together.
It's a new cast member that I'm like, is this potential new cast member? Can we see a bit more of her? Why do the others hate her? They've all got an opinion on her. What's going
on
there?
This is the woman that was too crazy for Kristen Doty.
Wow.
So we've There's some layers of the onion to unpeel.
Joe seems really into him. He's not sure whether he's into her. He wants to put it behind him
and move on with someone else. She isn't done.
Yeah, and she might be too crazy not to let go.
But if he does move on with someone else, she might have some secrets on him.
She might be a good bitter Betty. Yeah, she might be great. Feels like they've been having fairly regular, you know, Humpty Dumpty. Right. Mm-hmm. So what? I don't think that's a euphemism. But
I like it though.
Thanks. But I think something was kind of fun about that. I was like, oh, come on, Dark Horse, Tom, what are you up to? So that was kind of fun. I was enjoying that little dynamic because it's quite heavy at the minute. Vanderpump's quite heavy. So let's have a bit more light.
And I'll say possible MVP to keep an eye on. Ali. I love Ali.
She's great, isn't she? Really cuts through
the bullshit. Stands up for herself, but is very, very sweet.
Yes.
MVP.
I loved her astrology because she was like, yeah, I was going to be Taylor Swift, but then I realized there was another Taylor Swift. So I just took up astrology. I was thinking, how could I apply that to my career? I was going to be Sarah Millican, but I realized there was another Sarah Millican. So I just took up crochet.
I love it. Before we leave, most outrageous comment of the fortnight, I guess, was Sheena Shea saying of Ariana on Dancing with the Stars, she's come a long way since being my backup dancer.
Oh, the shade!
I'm sorry, Sheena. Do you mean when she was your backup dancer and was better than you, by the way, when she was your backup dancer when you did that shitty non-gig for free because she's a good friend? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm going to say it, outrageous. Jacob. Out of order.
Out of order.
I think we should wrap it up.
Oh, God, we definitely need to wrap it up. I need to go and take a nap. I get very grouchy if I don't get my naps.
No, me too. I've got a gig to go to. In Burnley.
Oh, so jealous.
I've got one in Luton.
I'm going to Luton, but I wish I was. All right, my love. Lovely to see you as always. Thank you for joining us, guys. Do join us on the socials at RH Guilty Secrets. And do leave us a review if you're enjoying the podcast so that more people can find us. And also just put a smile on our faces.
Yeah, it makes us so happy because we know you're out there because the numbers are growing and growing and growing, which is
very
so
exciting.
It's so exciting for us. So another thing you can do is just tell a friend that you enjoy it.
Tell friends. Yeah.
And then that's another way to keep the numbers growing. And the more the numbers grow, the bigger it gets. The bigger it gets, we might be able to come and tour and do it live because that'll be so much fun. And then, like we said, we're getting one of the OG Housewives on soon. Things are getting bigger. It's so exciting for us. We do it for love, not money. This has been the Real Housewives Guilty Secret Podcast. See you later.
See you next week. This podcast was brought to you by Nina Gilligan and Naomi Cooper, edited and produced by Frog and Bucket, with the music Spoilt Brat by Ruth.